when I was a young boy, I remember hearing the mailman, the garbage man, they get paid. But I also was told by my cousin Junior, hoes don't really fool with the garbage man.
Well, hold on. And if it was Claudine or some shit.
Right.
If it was Claudine, you know, James Earl Jones and Diana Carroll, that's probably right. That's probably right.
The award-winning A Black Executive Perspective podcast presents BEP Live. Hosted by Chris P. Reed and Tony Tidbett, where uncomfortable conversations take center stage. So, let's go there. What uncomfortable conversation are we having tonight?
Welcome to a BEP Live on A Black Executive Perspective. I am that guy, your host, Chris P. Reed.
And I'm Tony Tidbett, right? And so, again, we're very excited that you guys are here. We're here to cut through the noise, get straight to what matters: power, politics, culture, leadership, and the moment shaping our lives right now. So guess what? There's going to be no filters, no safe takes, just honest dialogue and real accountability. So, Chris, what's on the menu tonight, my brother?
Man, we here again to ask the real question. White collar, blue collar, what class are you really in? Because I think, you know, what we hear a lot is middle class, upper middle class. We never hear lower class. It's almost, you know, something that's taboo to say somebody's lower class. But
you
nobody is
a fight.
No, right. But nobody's defining them. But we feel assigned to them. So tonight we're asking, what is the real game here? What's the income ranges? What is the poverty level? What is wealth numbers? Are we in a class system or a caste system? Meaning, you know, if we was there, that's where we're going to be. That's where our daddy was. That's where we're going to be. That kind of deal, unless we break out. And then are people choosing their careers based on income or based on image? Because you got a lot of people that just want to be, you know, famous, right? They don't want to be or infamous where I'm from, right? So we're not supposed to be talking about money because it makes folks uncomfortable. Well, welcome to the later edition of BEP Live. So get your drink. Tell us what you think and don't blink. It's going to be over soon.
Yeah, you know, that's right. And we're going to get into it. But I got to read this quote that Hollow Point wrote real quick.
Okay, give it to me.
While we were going through, you had to jump out and jump back in. It says, even Maya Angelou wants Chris P. Reed to come back. Look at how she's looking at him, right?
Hey, sometimes you got to Fonzie these machines. You know what I'm saying? I will go give up on y'all, though.
So Maya Angelou, I forgot she's over my, you know, my
right hand shoulder.
Right. Yeah, left hand shoulder. So she even saying, let's get into it.
Yeah. I always think of it like she the angel. You know, you say you got the devil and the angel on the shoulder type situation. That's your angel on your shoulder.
And then hold on, I got to bring this. I mean, see, this is where we go, right?
Okay.
So we talked about colors, right? And then old Bronze Bill says it sounds gang related, okay? Because we talking blue colors. You remember the movie Colors with
absolutely.
Sean Penn?
Absolutely. Robert Duvall, yeah. Well, it's going to be banging. It's going to be banging.
We definitely going to dive into it. But listen, keep the comments coming. Appreciate you guys jumping on, investing your time. Really appreciate it. So continue to provide commentary, your thoughts. We'll definitely put them on the screen. You're part of the show, so thank you.
Absolutely. That's what we're here for. We're for the people. So, you know, let's start with the foundation, though, Tone. This class thing and what it really means as far as I do hear middle class, upper middle class. And so I, you know, purposely assigned myself to one of them just out of comfort, out of convenience, right? But then I started thinking about the fact that you don't hear lower class because they've reframed that. So historically, if you go back in economic history, blue collar symbolized the manual labor uniforms that people wore. They wore blue uniforms. White collar obviously was the folks with the ties on. This is where you used to have to dress up for work, right? When you went to the gig, now you work from anywhere. You work from the beach and, you know, saying the living room and all of this. But at that time, the management types, they wore a collared shirt, kind of like at the country club. You know what I'm saying? You had to dress up and put on some khakis or some slacks or whatever the case may be. I refer to these as air conditioned jobs. My question to you is, when you was a young boy growing up in Detroit City, what did you want to be? What was your aspiration as far as, did you want to work at the factory? Because I heard that there's a lot of factories, muzzles killing for the OT. Was that your thing? Or was you seeing the cats in the suits besides the pimps? Was you seeing the cats dressed up and was like, hey, I'm trying to get into the air conditioning?
Well, I mean, to answer your question directly, I did all of them. I wasn't the cats and the pimps. I wasn't the pimps.
You wasn't pimping? Okay, cool. Appreciate that.
This wasn't, who was my flick? I forget the one with Robert Townsend. You know, the pips and the hoes, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, yeah. Hollywood Shuffle.
Hollywood Shuffle. This ain't Hollywood Shuffle. Yeah, bro. I mean, look, Michigan's a manufacturing, or at least it was.
Blue collar city.
Blue collar,
that's
right?
What they called.
Midwest was mostly that, right?
Yep, so that's right.
People worked in the factories. People worked at GM and Ford and Chrysler and made big money, okay? But, you know, to your collar nomenclature, those were blue. They were the designated blue collar jobs, okay? Mm-hmm. However, you know, for me, I didn't want to get my hands dirty. So I was always looking for the white collar job, right? But at the end of the day, I just wanted a job.
Okay.
So I was willing to do whatever it took, right? And we're going to dive in because I think, and again, I'll use myself as an example, because I think, you know, when I was coming out of the military and out of school, my mindset was that one was better than the other from an economic standpoint, and it's not. Right. And we can give plenty examples. We're going to give plenty examples of that. But to your question, that was my I did all of them, though, bro. I did all of them.
You know what? One of the things that we're going to get a numbers that was pulled off of the Bureau of Labor Statistics. But programming, you know, has made us believe that
there's no question
that lower class, they call it working class. So basically, these are the striations. It's working class. It's middle class, it's upper middle class, and it's wealthy, okay? But when you look at it in reality, and we're going to dive into it, what we consider wealthy, it depends on where you sit, right? It's perspective, right?
But here's the thing, though. See, and again, though, that's why, you know, to your point, words paint pictures.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they're all working class, okay? Because they're all working.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's working. And you can say, oh, the wealthy ain't working. No, they created something that's working.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it's all working. All right? That's number one. So we have to look at it like that because you forgot one nomenclature. There's no class.
No class. Like school on Saturday. Like Fat Albert said, like school on Saturday.
And it goes for financial and it goes for character too.
Right.
No class, right? But at the end of the day, everybody, but to your point, words paint pictures. Mm-hmm. So when you think working class, I don't know. I would love to hear somebody, I would love to hear the audience talk. When you hear working class, does that mean lower class? Does that mean poor? I don't see it that way. I don't think of it that way, right? I think of it more as blue collar. Right. But I don't think of it as lower class or anything like that. And here's the thing, though, too, bro. The bottom line is when we talk about this, typically from a framing standpoint, we're talking about it from an economic standpoint.
Yep.
Right. From a financial standpoint.
Yep.
Right. So but I don't think that, and this is just me. So, guys, ladies, people, jump in. Let me know your thoughts. Do you think working class is poor? Or, excuse me, lower class? Because I don't think so.
See, I think the trick bag in this, bro, and I'll wait for the folks to say what they say, but the trick bag in this is you have two choices, blue collar, white collar. But there's so many levels to this. Let me just give you the numbers. Poverty is if you make $15,000 or below, you impoverished, right?
Correct.
Middle class is $45,000 to $135,000. So you're making six figures, but you're middle class. Upper class is $135,000 to $250,000. I'm sorry, upper middle. Upper middle is $135 to $250. If you above $250 a year, that's when you upper class. So you mean to tell me if I'm making $100,000, I'm just middle class? If I'm making them six figures we talked about last week?
Yeah, bro. You might be lower class. This is my point, right? Because it's not about almost what you make. It's also where you live and
Absolutely.
The cost of living you live.
That's right.
Right? And so that's really – here, I got some stats for you too, right?
Give it to me.
So number one is this, right? There's really no official definition of the middle class. The U.S. government does not have one official middle class definition. The middle class in America often is more cultural than factual. All right. So in other words, they try to take the number. So the medium household income in America today, for at least in 2024, was $83,000. Almost 83. Okay. Yep. Almost 83.4. Right. So when people say middle class, they're usually talking around that. Right. That's not an official number. Now, let's also dive in a little bit deeper. Right. The federal poverty guideline in 2026, you stated one person, 15,000, almost 16,000, they're in poverty.
Yep. Yep.
But a family of four, 33,000.
Math is bad on that.
You see, the family of four.
Right. Right.
Okay. Right. Now, so the poverty line may say you're fine, but your bills are saying something totally different.
Absolutely.
Right. Now, let me just give you Connecticut, because I live in Connecticut. The living wage in Connecticut, a single adult, no children, needs to make $54,000 a year, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Just to make ends meet,
mm-hmm.
okay? A single adult with one child needs to make $107,000 a year to make ends meet. Okay, so you see my point here?
Right.
So income is national.
Right.
Vivo is local.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? How much that kid eating?
No, it's not how much the kid is eating. It's how much the cost of living is so much higher.
Gotcha.
That's my point. That 107 in Mississippi may go longer
You ain't lying.
That 107 in L.A. or San Francisco.
Don't mean a damn. That's a studio. That's
so
a studio.
That's my point.
Yeah.
So that's this middle class upper. Stop. It depends on where you live, okay, and the affordability. So you could make $1,000 a year, which back in the day, you'd be like, oh, they're living on Easy Street, blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, if they got two kids, okay, one kid, and depending where they're living and all the bills and property taxes and all those things, they might just be barely making it. Okay. That's the key.
You know what? It's funny because my boy, that was always his dream, was to retire and then head back down south. And one of the things he was talking about was the cost of living was lower, so his retirement, his pension and all that would go longer. But it took for me to be a grown-up and move to the south, move to Mississippi, to realize, oh, I'm trading in quality of life. They ain't got no movie theater. They ain't got no gas station. Like, it's a totally different convenience level. There is no symphony. There is no, you know, professional sports team. So, yes, my money is going longer in the idea of my home. And, you know, some of these groceries and whatnot. But then I got to travel to see something, to do something, to eat somewhere. So it tends to balance out at some point. Now, my daughter was just telling my wife that she want to move to California, work for NASA. I think that's the craziest thing in the world to go someplace with, because they don't have taxes in Texas. You know, I live in Texas. Ain't no employment taxes. Your money can go a little longer here. If you play professional sports, you want to play in Texas or Florida, because your check is your check type situation. But it's just, like you said, the narrative of what we see as successful versus non-successful. Now we're talking about the emotional connection between success with these classes.
So, but here's the thing, though, bro. And mm-hmm. I want to read some of these comments because people
are
throwing a bunch of stuff at me. But I just want to say this before I read some of the comments, right? So again, though, man. So it's what we thought was success. Because it's different today. So we just got finished saying a family of four, 33,000, they in poverty. 30 years ago, that wasn't the case. 20 years ago, that wasn't the case. Okay? So things have changed because the affordability has gone up, right? That's the issue. And the wages haven't kept up with the affordability. So $100,000 in 2026 a year is not the same as $100,000 in 1990.
Correct.
Okay? It's
correct.
Just not.
Correct.
So we got to move the, I'm going to use your word, the goalposts.
Right.
All right? Because the cost of living is a lot higher. And then if you throw the kids, if you got kids, now think about it. Kids now are more expensive because they're doing, everything now is organized. It costs more money.
That's a hustle.
It's a shakedown, right?
Yes,
you
right.
used to just send the kids out. They used to kick rocks in the alley, right? And they fulfill.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah,
they're having a good time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah,
they're drinking water
sure.
from the water house. They're throwing a frisbee.
Right.
They're having a good time. You
right.
had to, but now you got every soccer, every practice.
Yeah.
If paddle ball is nothing. You can name dance. Think of anything. If they wanted to get in karate or even if it was a puppet,
absolutely.
They wanted to be in a. It costs money.
Absolutely.
Okay. And so right there, and then they end up quitting.
Right.
All right. After you paid all this money.
Right.
So when you start adding these costs that didn't exist.
Right.
Years ago.
Right.
And the money, so the money is not the same. But
what's
here,
the comments?
I go
yeah, give me some comments.
Yeah, let me go to the comments right here, right, real quick, okay? So Hollow Point says, working class means those without nepotism or skin privilege.
Okay.
So that's what Hollow Point says.
Okay.
Gail says, I was always told that blue collar, you use your hands, white collar, you use your mind. Okay. Sal says lower class is considered 30,000 to 40,000 a year salary.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And then Brill says, why are we letting money define if we have class or not?
But like you said, it's the definition of class. It's the nomenclature.
It's not saying somebody about somebody's character.
Right.
Or saying that they're low lifes.
Right.
Or anything like that. It's just from a financial situation. Hollow Point says, who defines the cost of living? Oh, so here we go now. James Evans survived working at the car wash, but didn't survive the Mississippi pipeline. So if anybody, good time.
Yeah.
Right, but did he survive? They were in the projects.
Absolutely.
All right? They were in the projects. He was at the car wash.
Right.
And let's think about it. This is 1970s.
Right.
So he's probably making $1.50 an hour.
Right.
Okay? To be fair.
Right.
Right? And did that $1.50 get them out of the projects?
Right.
Right?
Here's the situation. I think that one of the things that I learned when I got older was the difference in my definition of a good job, because my wife had a girlfriend, she had a dude, and she kept saying, oh, yeah, he got a good job. Well, come to find out, it wasn't a good job. I ain't even going to put him out there like that. It was a steady job. Her qualification of a good job was steady employment. It wasn't a high paying, but I was also programmed that you got to go to school, you got to do this, you got to do that. You know what I'm saying? So it was a different situation for me, but there are jobs that, even if you don't go to school, you can make some bread. Like I got a buddy of mine that make bread. You know what I'm saying?
And that's the misnomer.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the thing though, right? So we thought, and I'll be honest with you, I thought too, right? To be fair, even though I grew up in Detroit where people were working at GM, Ford, Chrysler, they were making big money. They were able to buy their houses,
mm-hmm.
go on vacations, put money aside. So, and that would be considered blue collar, right? But again, they wasn't making $100,000 a year, the majority of them. They probably was making 50, 60, but that level, but at that time frame, that money went a long way.
It went a long way, absolutely.
Right? 50 grand a day? Are you kidding me? All right? So you got to look, it's all relative, right? However, our mindsets, to your point, to this, mm-hmm. to what you put together,
mm-hmm.
is that we think, most people think that white collar jobs are more lucrative.
That's right.
And you make more money and it's more career oriented. And that's not true.
Play the clip for him, Tony. Let them see what we're talking about.
Yeah. And then we're going to come back to the comments.
That's cool.
But I just want to, we just want to dive into this real quick about, at the end of the day, jobs over college.
Law school. But for a lot of careers, especially those focused on building wealth, there are better, faster, less expensive paths. Expensive The person who goes through a 3-year HVAC apprenticeship starting at 20 and earning while they learn, then works as an HVAC tech making $80,000 a year by age 23, is in a drastically different financial position than someone who spent 4 years and $100,000 on a degree and is starting their first job at 22, making $50,000. By age 30, the tradesperson is probably $100,000 ahead financially. By age 40, the gap is massive. The key is understanding what you actually want to do, and then finding the most efficient path to get there. Don't just follow the default.
So let me tell you first thing came to mind on that time before you read their comments. When I was a young boy, I remember hearing the mailman, the garbage man, they get paid. But I also was told by my cousin Junior, hoes don't really fool with the garbage man. You know what I'm saying?
They, well, hold on. And if it was Claudine or some shit.
Right. Right.
All right? Right. If it was Claudine, you know, James Earl Jones and Diana right, Carroll, right, that's right. Probably right, right? Right. That's probably right. But outside, and see, that goes, but see, and here's the thing. But to that point, though,
right, right.
Let's be clear here, right?
Right,
let's be
right.
Clear. Because I want to make sure we stay tight to the. I don't know what garbage men make, right?
And right.
They're not garbage men.
Sanitation workers.
They're environmental
okay.
Cleaners or some shit.
Smell the same.
But the name is a.
Right.
But here's the thing, though. So at the end of the day, as he said in the clip, a lot of times people think I go to college, I'll do a 4-year degree. And then I set myself up and then I'll start going to make money and this and that, right? But when you do the math, okay, and this is not knocking college or anything like that, but if you do the math, a lot of times you're going to start a lot lower than somebody, as they showed in that example, HVAC, or somebody that's a plumber, okay, or somebody that's an engineer, I mean, not an engineer, an electrician, who go to a trade school.
Right? Welders and whatnot.
Welders, you can go all that, and you can say blue collar, whatever. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, they're going to start off a lot higher in the financial game. And then number two, their career, if they stay in that, and let's say they go out and start their own business and own their years, because a lot of times those professions are in high demand. Mm-hmm. From just going out selling your own services to who don't need a plumber, who don't need an electrician, who don't, you know what I'm saying? And even if you work for a company, it's still specialized, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so at the end of the day, these are jobs that pay really high, okay, from the onset. And are you going to make $1 million a year, okay? Probably not. But what jobs do, even
right.
from a white-collar standpoint, coming straight out of college?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that, but that's just, once again, it's a part of programming. And what you have been told or what you have been thought to believe is distinguished, because I remember in business school, they talked about the used car salesman, where the used car salesman from a pound for pound or the air traffic controller, they make so much bank, but the prestige is not aligned with the income. You can go buy exactly what dude at the analyst is buying, but you'll use car salesman, fam. Like, listen, even if you own the lot, you own a used car lot. So that reputation is what people try to chase, especially in this fame chasing era that we in.
So here's the thing, though. Think about it for a second. You just said air traffic controller, median pay is $144,000 a year, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, an elevator, an escalator, installer, repairer makes almost $110,000 a year. Okay, so one is more glamorous. However, the other is just almost as lucrative as, you see what I'm saying? So one is more glamorous, but the other one still brings in some money, but you don't, but it ain't the white collar type
that's right.
stuff.
That's right.
And
right.
that's the issue. Yeah. You know, electrician, right? The median pay is $62,000. Right? Somebody coming out of college, for the most part, let's say in finance or a lawyer, you know, they're not going to make $62,000
right.
coming out of college.
Right.
Right. And so my point is a lot of times, you know, and parent, you know, I have friends of mine who they're like, their kids are going to trade schools. because they didn't feel like the kids didn't feel like they didn't want to go to school. They didn't want to go to college. And not mm-hmm. every kid is meant for college. So let's mm-hmm. be clear with that. Mm-hmm. Right. But sometimes people look at it as they thumb their nose down. Oh, he's just going to a trade school. He must be stupid. All right. They must not be smart. And that's not the case. Right. And so that profession is still lucrative and can be lucrative. OK, from a financial. But then let's also look at not just financial. It's also what somebody enjoys doing.
Absolutely. 100%.
Right. You can enjoy doing it. And that's just as rewarding. Now, look, you still got to pay the bills. Right. You still got to have a cot and have three square meals. Right. Maybe one. Maybe you can do one of these fastings. Right. Where you 16 hour fast and something like that. Right. But at the end of the day. But if you also enjoy what you do, that's also as valuable as long as you can pay the bills.
Yeah, yeah. You want to have the three hots in a cot. Like my boy Pig, he's an electrician and make bread. But, you know, one of the conversations he and I have all the time with me being a corporate guy is I got to have my cuticle suitable. I can't do all that. Like I call him for those needs. You know what I'm saying? He's my guy that takes care of things. So they need all kinds. I'm one of the other kinds. Buddy,
I'm one of the, so I tell you the story. So when I was in the Army, right? Yeah, I was in a tank unit, right?
Okay.
And so these dudes that signed up, you know, to be tankers and, you know, infantry dudes, and they got bonuses like $5,000. Once they got out of base training, they would get a bonus and to be a tanker dude, right? I was a supply clerk, financial clerk, right? So these dudes would, they got to go and go in the field and do 30-mile death marches. I got to go downtown and do this paperwork, right? So I remember they were like, hey, later on today or tomorrow we go on a 30. And I was like, First Sergeant, I can't do that. I got this appointment tomorrow, Franklin, appointment later. And he said, okay, Franklin. And then the people started grumbling. They were like, why does Franklin always have to go? He don't have to do what we do. I said, you know why? Because you signed up for that. I signed up for this.
Right.
All right.
Right.
That's a fact. Right? Right. So I knew I wasn't that type person. So to your point, you need all. But it's not knocking anybody.
Right. Oh, yeah. For sure.
Right. In terms of what they do. Right. Because whatever you do, whatever you bring to the table in terms of your own skill set, taking care of your family, that's where we got to applaud. And that's where to that programming comes back is that. Blue collar ain't nothing and white collar is this or vice versa.
Right. Well, before we get into deeper, what we think as far as the striation in economics, what comments came up before I sift to the next section and bring in our engagement moment?
Okay. So Sal says here, he says lower class jobs are considered service workers, fast food employees, manual laborers, and clerical positions, right? Okay, I can see the fast food stuff, right?
Okay.
And I can see the manual labors, right? And then Hollow Point, you're on a roll, right? Because remember I was talking about, you know, we used to drink water from the hose and nowadays, you know what I'm saying? It costs so much. He's like, kids need Fiji water nowadays, right?
Mine has that, yes.
Yeah. So we got
to have mineral.
We gotta have Hollow Point join us, right? You bring us some really good points, right?
Absolutely.
And then Sal says here, most high-paying jobs require college degrees, but there's a high-paying jobs in trades like plumbing, electrical, elevator installers, making $100. Exactly, Sal. Totally agree with you, buddy. And that's what we just got finished talking about. And then my man, Neville. What's up, buddy? My man, Neville, he's out in L.A. He texted me tonight, said, I'm going to join you guys tonight, right? So I'm glad you're here, my brother. Thanks.
Absolutely.
So he said, He said, outside of specific majors, college is largely a waste outside of the potential networking. The best skill is to learn how to sell, right? And you know what, buddy? Me and the Vail worked together years ago.
Okay.
We both salespeople, so he know what time it is. He's actually put his kids through college because he was a salesperson making money, right? So I totally get that, right? And then Bill's here. Bill, what happened there, bro?
Because when he says sell, where I'm from, that's a different thing, right? That's a different hustle. So I kind of reverted back to my old self. It was like,
But he ain't talking about crack and shit. He ain't talking about rocks and shit, right? This dude go right back to the ghetto. All right. He used to sell advertising service. That's what he used to say, right?
Understood.
And then who is this? I got here. Is this Brails again saying we have been programmed by that old game of life that we go to college, we make more money, we have a better life, and retire better.
Yeah.
That if we spin and skip it. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. And that's the issue.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying when people say that their kids are going to trades, because people start looking down on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? They start like, they must be retarded. There must be something wrong with them. Right. And that's not it. Right. And then he follows up and says, J. Cole says, go to college just to make a good salary, just to pay Sally Mae. All right.
And
that's real, because that's what you end up doing, though, right? Paying Sally Mae. And then my boy Nivelle said, what's up? Because we shouted him out, right?
That's what's up.
He got his picture up there. Is that a Yankee hat on? Bro, don't show up on this one with no Yankee hat on, motherfucker. I'm digging your ass.
So we're gonna talk about those numbers in real time. But before we jump into that, let me get into the engagement moment. So this episode is brought to you by the auntie or uncle figure that allowed you to find yourself even when it was outside the rules. So shout out to them in the chat by first name only. Shout them out. Whoever let you cook, let you figure it out, that older person that took you under their wing and kind of gave you some of the game. They let you have your first beer, your first R-rated movie when you wasn't supposed to be there. They believed in you when you was going against the grain. Get them their flowers here in the comments. For me, I'm going to go first. You got to meet. For me, it was my Aunt Judy, right? So my Aunt Judy, I used to stay with her in the summers, and she had three rules. She used to leave me by myself. She would go to work. I don't know if it was illegal or not, but the rules was don't answer no phone, don't answer the door, and it better be clean when I get home. And so that provided a structure for me that I have until this day from a timing perspective and understanding. It used to be a situation back then before caller ID. If she needed to call, she would let the phone ring twice, hang up, and then call back. So that way I would know it was her, right? So that's how I knew if she needed something in the interim. But I was at home independent, right? I was young boy. But I was independent because she gave me that latitude and let me kind of, find myself. So I shout out Aunt Judy.
So I put Aunt Judy in the chat for you, buddy.
Okay, cool. Appreciate that.
It was Uncle Willie. Willie was my man, right?
Okay.
You know, I didn't grow up with a father, and so he was like my uncle,
right?
And he was like the father figure for me. So him and I used to go bowling, and he would teach me how to bowl, and we used to watch sports together. That was my man, right? And he allowed me, to be honest, it wasn't like he used to say stuff to me, but it wasn't like he sat down and taught me a lesson. It was just more that he was just there and I could have somebody, a male figure, to hang out with and be open and honest. So Uncle Willie, miss you a lot, bro. Love you a lot, but just wanted to let you know the impact you had on my life. So look, you guys throw in the chat.
Yeah.
Who's the person, who's the honor uncle that, was inspirational, who helped you grow? Right? Everybody got one. And don't throw in, the one, because we always got the other aunt and uncle.
Right.
That's always kicking you in your ass, right?
And it could be a figure. It ain't even got to be somebody that's that celebrity. My mom had friends that we call ain't this and ain't that.
I was just about to say that, yep, right? We had a ton of those, right? I mean, in the black community, we always had that.
Absolutely.
Cousins that really ain't our cousins.
The play cousins,
right? Or uncles and aunts, right? So hold on, Brills. Like, we got one real quick. Let me throw this up. So Brills says, Uncle Lim told me, don't join the union if you're a hustler and grind for yours. They are lazy, right?
Okay.
And you know what? Your uncle's a little bit to that, right? Because in the union, they don't want your ass working hard, right? Especially the dudes that
bell
got
the
seniority.
Yeah, man.
I remember I told you, I did a little bit of all. I worked in this factory, right? And I'm hungry. I'm a young dude. I'm coming in and I want to do everything, right? And the old dude's looking at me like, sit your ass down. You're going to make us all look bad.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And then when it's time for layoff, who got laid off first? The young dudes. The people who got no seniority.
Absolutely.
Right? So your Uncle Lynn told you exactly right.
Absolutely.
All right, continue to fill anybody in the else? Chat, though.
Okay, cool.
No, yeah, that's it we got to... for right now. Okay. Let's keep moving. Okay.
Yeah, so let's go and talk about it with the numbers. I know we put out some numbers earlier, but let's really dive into these numbers as it relates to how the gap is bigger than we actually perceive it to be when it comes to what is wealth, what is upper class, because we getting crumbs and we fooling ourselves. So play that clip, Tom.
Wealth gap or the top
wealth gap?
10?
Yep, wealth gap. Wealth gap.
Okay. Yep. So this is amazing.
Yep.
There's a chart I saw recently that I can't get out of my head. A Harvard business professor and economist asked more than 5,000 Americans how they thought wealth was distributed in the United States. This is what they said they thought it was. Dividing the country into five rough groups of the top, bottom, and middle three 20% groups, they asked people how they thought the wealth in this country was divided. Then he asked them what they thought was the ideal distribution, and 92%, that's at least 9 out of 10 of them, said it should be more like this. In other words, more equitable than they think it is. Now that fact is telling, admittedly, the notion that most Americans know that the system is already skewed unfairly. But what's most interesting to me is the reality compared to our perception. The ideal is as far removed from our perception of reality as the actual distribution is from what we think exists in this country. So ignore the ideal for a moment. Here's what we think it is again. And here is the actual distribution. Shockingly skewed. Not only do the bottom 20% and the next 20%, the bottom 40% of Americans barely have any of the wealth. I mean, it's hard to even see them on the chart. But the top 1% has more of the country's wealth than 9 out of 10 Americans believe the entire top 20% should have. Mind-blowing.
Buddy, like he said, that is mind-blowing, right? I mean, at the end of the day, that is insane. Okay? Because if you think about it, you know, what's that old saying? Somebody was born on third base and they thought they hit a triple. Okay. And at the end of the day, oh, there you go, buddy. Did I lose you and something like that?
That was so mind blowing. It shut down my system. numbers, I got Johnny Five.
I got two of you up here now, right?
Okay.
I don't know which one is the real one, right? One might be blue collar, and the other one might be white collar.
Right.
But those numbers is insane because at the end of the day, And it was funny what he said. 40% of Americans is not, they're barely on the chart. Okay? Barely on the chart. And so when we think of, and here's the thing, we're sitting here talking about blue collar, white collar, and all that. But when you look at the reality, it don't matter. Okay? Because at the end of the day, a few people have the most money. And I think it was, and I wrote some numbers down too. The top 10 families or something that have 60% of the wealth in the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay? Something to that point, right? So that's insane. And so we're sitting here talking about 50K and 100K and 150K. And that's just to live day by day. Mm-hmm. You know, last week when we're on here, we talked about, we showcased that you needed 10 times your income.
To retire.
To retire, right? The majority of people can't do that, even if they try, because life itself will come up and throw monkey wrenches. It always happens. Even if come on, bro. How many times you're like, I'm going to save this, I'm going to do this and this and that. And you're on the plan, then all of a sudden something happens.
Life be life.
Right?
Yep.
Life be life. And the next thing you know, you're like, oh, I can't. Yeah, I do this. I got to do that. And so it's when you see those numbers. And then look, I love the part about the idea. Ideal, everybody thinks that, oh, it should be split up like this. Nobody said nobody shouldn't be wealthy. They're just saying that it should be more fair and this and that.
Absolutely.
Right? And then, but what it actually is mind-blowing, as he said.
I think the tough part about it is you got people hungry, starving, no Christmases, no holidays, and people that don't know what to do with their money. Like they got so much, they don't even know how much money they have. They don't even know. it's a level of opulence that you can get to where it's not even efficient. It's not, it doesn't even make sense. And we allow for that by design. So when we talk about systems a lot in this program, right? We talk about systems are set up when they start, it's so funny. We had this conversation before on an episode where the board of directors would say, hey, we need to do some cuts. We need to start, you know, making some adjustments in headcount. And then you cut 10% of the workforce and the CEO get a 20% bonus.
But flat out. I mean, but that's regular. That's how you're able to do it, right? And the stock goes up and the company makes more money.
Yeah.
So that's regular. That's always been the case. Here's the thing, though. So I got to throw this in because we got to be real here, right? Well, you know, at the end of the day, people, let's go back, people starving.
Yep.
Okay? Starving.
Yep.
We have people who worked for the government, you know, and we'll just use the TSA agents who didn't get paid for months. Okay? You have a ton of people where they need childcare. There's a ton of stuff going on, but then we fight in a war and we're spending $2 billion a day or whatever the number is. And then here's the thing though. You know life is messed up. You know when it hits your pocket, when you got to go fill up and get gas and you was paying, I don't know, $30 to fill up your tank. Now you're paying $80. And there's nothing, you can't short circuit that. Okay. You could, if from a food standpoint, you could be like, hey, look, you know what? We ain't going out to eat.
Right. Right.
All right.
Right.
Or we just going to shop and this and that. Matter of fact, we ain't getting the name brand stuff. We're going to get the regular stuff.
Right. Right.
The prices are cheap. Right, right. So you can always try to manipulate, but when it comes to gas, there ain't no change.
Ain't no coupons. Ain't no coupons for gas.
But my point is back to the clip. Mm-hmm. But the people that's still making big money, I mean, on that wealth gap, it's not even a dent to them. Right. And so the pain, that's the point we should be talking about. The pain that the majority of people feel versus some people are totally different.
The tough part about it beyond the pain is the programming. So let me give you an example. Now that I sit in a different seat and I look out of a different window, I'm thinking, how the hell did we make it? But you often hear black and brown folks say, we didn't even know we was poor. We didn't even know we didn't have. It's like, what the hell? I can't. My wife said, thank the good Lord for Central Air. I can't imagine. I would have killed myself if I didn't have Central Air. And I'm like, damn, y'all never had a fan in a window?
Like, buddy, but we didn't. I grew up. We had no Central Air.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? We had fan. Your ass lay butt naked. You lay butt naked. Right, with white underwear on, right. No T-shirt, right? Everybody was skim, and right. You laid in bed with every window on the planet open.
Oh, absolutely,
house,
absolutely.
Right, and not one absolutely. Person complained. Yeah. Not one person yeah. said, "Oh man, I don't know what we gonna do." Now, look, our parents might have had these comments. Let's be fair, though,
okay?
Too, right, they might have had these conversations, but we wasn't privy to them because the way the structure was back when I was a kid, kids played and they wasn't in grown folks' business.
Business, that's right.
Right, and so we probably didn't know, but they probably had these conversations. But you are right. And the reason we didn't know that we were, and I don't want to say poor, but we didn't know that we had economic situations because the way the structure was set up, you didn't know how much money your parents made. You didn't know about their bill. You ain't know nothing.
Right.
It was none of your business.
Right.
Right. So as long as your ass ate
right.
and you had clothes and it's not, you thought everything was great because that's how simple life was. Right. And today is told kids know everything. Their mother and father sitting up there telling them, I got laid off today or my boss told me I ain't shit. What are we going to do? And the kids say, well, daddy, you know, you should just quit.
Right.
I shouldn't take, right. you know, right. you having these conversations with your kids. They're telling you. Right. What type of that would have never happened. But, OK, so, go ahead, bro.
Yeah. But as you would say, to be fair. We only knew what our neighbors and our boys and our cousins had going on. Now they have the internet that's showing them a different side, whether it be good, bad, true or false. they're making impressions of how life should be based on art, based on the internet or things that they're seeing. And so, like, I knew that, like, I didn't know I was poor because Pig had the same big wheel I had. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying, Julie? That we all had the same stuff.
That's fair. I mean, so that's fair. That's a good point. So social media has definitely catapulted or provided more visual things in terms of what people. So I get that. I used to look when I was a kid, though. I used to look at the JCPenney catalog.
Sears and Roebuck, huh? You was on that Sears and Roebuck.
Right? And I look in that and like, look at that suit, right? Hold on, let's put some of these comments.
All right,
up,
cool.
Right?
Get it to me.
But it is totally different than it was today. Okay. So did we say this? Oh, no. Okay. So we have Hollow Point. Aunt Linda, don't be at work messing up your bread for what someone said or for no head. Ooh, I think okay. I got that right.
I hope so. That sounded explicit.
Don't be at work messing up your bread for what someone said or for no. Oh, I get it now. Right. So yeah. So it went to yeah. Okay. Linda, she was cool. I mean, she told, like, don't go. So in other words, don't be messing up your bread based on what somebody said or.
Right. Got you. So oh, don't mess sense. Up the bag. Right. Okay. Yeah. You said don't trick off the bag.
It took me a minute to, right? And then Hollow Point, capitalism is not designed for everyone to live good and be happy. It's designed to have homelessness and have-nots and people with too much money. Yeah, absolutely.
Gods and claws.
But that's it though, right? This is not socialism.
Right.
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 But that doesn't mean that capitalism. So I'm not here to say it's bad or good. Okay? Because what do I mean by that? So, you know, I think the ability to go out and make your own as much as you can, I think that's a good thing, right? I think what a challenge is where, and that's where people start throwing socialism in. I think what a challenge is that when it gets out of hand, and at the end of the day, it limits a certain amount of people. See, most people think it doesn't limit. Okay, so let me give you an example. I saw this on the news today. I think of back in February, I think it was United CEO had talked to the, was it? United American airline CEO talking about they should merge together. Okay. So think about it. United Airlines and American Airlines merging together. Okay. Would they allow that to happen?
They shouldn't.
They wouldn't. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Because why? Why? Yeah. Why?
Because it's almost it's an oligopoly, right? It's too much. No competition. It's taking competition out of the marketplace.
Would be no exactly. Right. So it'd be in a monopoly.
Yep.
You see my point here. Right. So they wouldn't allow that. Right. They wouldn't. But then when you just looked at the chart we just had, okay, when almost, you know, the 1% almost has 60% of the wealth of the whole country. That's no different. All right. That's no different. So you can't. Now, if you invented some shit that was, you know, mind blowing, right? You may be able to get a little dent into that. All right, but that shit, that snowball is already rolling down the hill, right? Remember the back of the day they had old money and new money?
New money, absolutely.
Okay?
Absolutely.
So when you talk about old money, that's a lot of that.
Right.
Now, if you want to say these AI dudes and stuff of that nature have jumped in and taken it to the next level, that's new money. Okay, that's fair. But my point is, that's where the issue becomes. And then so even you starting a business today and making $1 million, $1 million ain't the same as it was 10 years ago.
Right.
You see my point?
Right.
That's the point I'm trying to make here.
Right?
Is that at the end of the day, you can still go out and make money, but it's not the same money as it was before versus somebody already having 50 to 60% of the wealth. Okay? And their money is continually, right now they're making billions while we're talking.
Right. But like my man said in the first clip, what are you actually doing it for? So you, as we bring this, land this plane, I think that we got it kind of messed up. We talked about social media a little bit, and it's people that are broke and trying to look successful. It's people that, you know what I mean? It's all about the impression of fake it till you make it and all this other stuff. It's a lot of people that's in major. You got people that's working 9 to 5s, that's quote unquote blue collar, that's living comfortable, that don't know that they're poor because of their level of comfort. And you got people that are upper class because of the financial W-2, miserable because they in mounds of debt trying to act like they got more than what they have. My biggest concern, Tone, is when you look at that graph that we put up there, I shouldn't have the same nomenclature for me as somebody that has $2 billion. If I got $250,000, I'm upper class, and the dude that's got $1 million, $2 million, $9 million, $107 million is upper class too, what is we talking about? We're not the same. We're not the same.
It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same. It's not the same, right? And so that's the, but again, we talk in frame and a narrative.
Right.
Right. If I can make you think you're the same, then you ain't complaining.
Absolutely.
Right? Absolutely. You ain't coming after my $2 million.
Absolutely.
Right. You happy. You not saying, I can't believe why I ain't woven on this side. Right. So again, man, I where we are today versus where we are years ago is really out of hand. And so when we talk about classes, back to, I think it was Brill, when we talk about classes, they don't match today.
They don't.
Right? Those were back in the 70s, 80s, 90s conversations. Today, they don't matter. Because as Sal and a lot of the people who spoke today, you could be somebody who's working with your hands and building stuff and still make a couple hundred thousand dollars a year, $250,000 a year. And then you can be a paralegal,
mm-hmm.
all right, a white collar job making 30, making 45. Mm-hmm. You see my point here, right?
Absolutely.
And so it's totally different. But at the end of the day, regardless of the collar, you right. got a collar on, I don't.
Right.
Regardless what we found out today, regardless of the collar that you have on, you still can't catch these other dudes.
Infallible.
All right? Because, matter of fact, they ain't even got collars.
They ain't even got collars.
All right? They're going up in spaceships for joy yeah. and inviting people to come
yeah.
along.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
That's it. So we're talking about white collar, blue collar, low class, this class. And then it don't even matter.
Right.
Okay? It doesn't. Because it'll never, no matter what you do, it ain't going to get you to that level of where look, I always say this. Is it possible? Everything is possible. Is it probable?
Correct.
Probably not.
Correct.
All right.
But you can't beat yourself up and judge other people based on these things that you've been programmed unless you know. We gave you these facts and figures because these are real. Like, this is how it really is out there. So what I want to say is if blue-collar workers are making six figures and white-collar workers are drowning in debt, then maybe the labels are never about the money. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's about perception and perspective. Because at the end of the day, your collar doesn't determine your future. Your belief in your own success is yes. what gives you that leverage.
And going back to what Brill said,
mm-hmm.
number one, everybody's not meant to be a millionaire. Everybody's not meant to be ultra wealthy. It's just not. I mean, at the end of the day, we have our destiny. We run our race, and you do the best that you can. Okay. And that's where we have to be careful. That's where I do believe in capitalism, because at the end of the day, you go out and you do the best you can to make what you can for you and yours. Okay. And if you're able to get to that next level, God bless you. Okay. And if you're not, then it just wasn't meant to be. And that should be fine. And then if you got a job where you are elevator repair man or repair woman, or you doing this and that, and you're happy and you doing your thing and it's taking care of your family, then God bless you.
Right. All right. right?
And so at the end of the day, that's where we got to look at it, is that at the end of the day, we all have different talents. We all have different things that we bring to the table. And at the end of the day, we hopefully you're out there expressing those talents and doing the things. And based on that, it'll take you hopefully to where you want to go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we want to thank y'all for coming through, chiming in, chipping in with us. Let us know some stuff y'all want us to talk about, you know, in future lives and things of that nature. Obviously, shout out to anybody that spoke up, said something, whether you got read out or not. Go ahead, Tom.
I got to throw these. We had a couple more comments real quick, right?
Give it to me.
So we have my man here. Who is this? This was, you talked about. We had that. So we got Sal here. Sal says, living like a captain in privates pay stay within your means, right? Champagne tastes on a beer budget, right? And that's real, right?
Right.
Then Bill says they can afford to feed everyone, but they won't. Restaurants throw away so much food away daily. And that is so true, right? And then the final one, Hollow Point says, forget white and blue. My favorite color is collard greens.
Ignorant. That's ignorant. Okay, so let me give y'all mathematical statistics. This is a true story. If I were a billionaire and I spent $1,000 a day, it would take me 2,750 years to run out of money.
Money.
$1,000 a day.
But that's how much the point, though.
And we got multi-billionaire.
That's what I'm saying. Once you can't get rid of
you
it.
Can't.
Buddy, you could just sit here on this show, and within an hour after, you made a ton of money.
Man.
Just because your money's sitting there making interest.
Man, crazy.
You see my point?
Crazy.
So you can't. That's it. So that ain't going away.
Yeah, yeah.
Tell me a billionaire you know wasted all his money or her money. There's no such thing.
It just can't happen.
All right?
Yeah,
there's no such thing. Now you have people who made millions and they you know, my boy Hammer, 30
squandered.
Million supposedly, right?
Yeah.
He's squandered, right? Yeah. A billion? It ain't happening. It ain't gonna never happen.
Yeah.
Right. And so when you have that compounding,
yep,
that's where the wealth comes from.
That's right.
That's where the family wealth comes from.
That's right.
You see my point here?
Absolutely.
They're good for generations.
Yep.
Because that's all you got to do is put it somewhere in a bank investment. You're getting 10%, 15%, 20%. Are you fucking kidding me? Stop.
Absolutely.
Stop.
Absolutely. So cool. But yeah, thank y'all. Did anybody else have any comments to come in? But thank y'all for tuning in. Did we have any?
Go ahead. We got one, Daniel Young.
Okay.
What's up? Daniel Young says, what's up? I'm driving. Great podcast, homies.
That's what's up.
And then Hollow Point says, what's up, Danielle? So, yeah. So we got some people throwing some dap to each other.
Absolutely.
While we're closing the show out, right?
That's what we want. But thank y'all for sure for tuning in. Like I said, bring that energy every Tuesday, same bad time, same bad channel. But also, let us know what you want to hear about, and let us know if you want to jump on, like Tone said.
Buddy, flat out, if you guys got some topics, some uncomfortable conversation topics that we need to talk about, please DM us directly. Let us know, hey, guys, I would love you guys to talk about this. And then more importantly, you know, some of you guys, you know, especially Hollow Point's got the little comedian type, you know, the stand-up. You got the stand-up part, right? Yeah. Come on and join us, right? You got to get a mic and a camera, and you come on and let's hear you say your stuff in live, right?
It's different.
All that being said, we really appreciate you guys really diving in and sharing your points of view on our show.
Absolutely, and let's give them the rundown of what else we got going on, Tom.
Yeah, buddy. So look, at the end of the day, we're a growing network of conversations designed to challenge perspective and expand understanding. So we have multiple shows. Obviously, I'm glad you guys are checking out BEP Live. But don't forget to check out A Need to Know with Dr. Nasinga Burden. She comes on every Thursday, breaks down the stories shaping our culture and our communities. You don't want to miss it. Our Pull Up Speak Up Roundtable, where bold voices come together for unfiltered conversations about the issues people care about. Definitely check that out. And then tomorrow, a new episode of A Mixed Executive Perspective podcast hosted by Grace Food and Corey, exploring identity, leadership, belonging, and what it means to navigate the world through multiple lenses. Different shows, different perspectives, one mission. Our mission is making uncomfortable conversations comfortable. So check out all of A Black Executive Perspective podcast network shows.
Absolutely. Go ahead.
And then look, at the end of the day, this is one of the major things we want to make sure that everyone does, right? Our call to action is to eliminate all forms of discrimination. And the way we're asking everyone to do that is by our call to action called LESS, L-E-S-S. The L stands for learn. We want everyone to learn about racial and cultural nuances, enlighten yourself, because by doing that, guess what? You're going to become smarter and learn more about more people.
And then the E stands for empathize. Once you get to understand what other people are going through and the miles that they walk in those shoes, then you can add a diverse perspective and have more heartfelt understanding of your fellow mankind.
Absolutely. And then after you learn and now you have empathy, now the first S stands for share. We want you to share what you learned about other people, other cultural nuances that you wasn't privy to. Share it with your friends so now they can be enlightened as well.
And then the last S stands for stop. We want you to stop discrimination wherever you see it and foster inclusivity. And make sure that when you get in those moments, you tell them, cut that out. That ain't what we do around here. That's not what we're about over here. If it's Aunt Jenny or Uncle Joe at the table or somebody at the bus stop, let them know that ain't what's going to get us to the next level. And we want to do that to build a more fair, inclusive society and help us understand the world. Because if we do that every day, you'll see the change that you want to see as less will become more.
Absolutely. Less will become more, right? So don't forget to check out our website. Come to ablackexec.com. Check us out. Sign up for our newsletter, The Monthly Perspective. Hopefully some of you guys got it. It was really, really cool. It's awesome. Comes out every month. So make sure you sign up for The Monthly Perspective, right? And here's the other thing. Just like you guys did today, give us some feedback, right? We're all about learning and growing. So feedback is a gift. So give us feedback. Let us know what we can do better. Let us know if there's certain guests we should have or certain topics, because it's very important. And then, Chris, man, tell everybody where they can find the Black Executive Perspective podcast.
Man, they can follow us on Instagram, LinkedIn, X, TikTok, YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your normal podcasts. At ablackexec.com, you can check us out. But always check us out at the handle at ablackexec, and we'll be there for you. So until we get to get you guys again, we want you to like, comment, and subscribe. And until next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern, we hope that you tell a friend to tell a friend, and we'll see you then.
Absolutely. Bring somebody back with. Again, these guys dapping up in the chat, right? You know, what's up, Mojo? Right? You know,
A Black Executive Perspective.